Today, I wanted to talk about life-giving apologies. And as the Rio, we want to be a life-giving church, meaning that we want to connect to God and find life from Him, and then hopefully offer life to our world. And that's just part of who we are and who we want to be, kind of what we want to pursue. And I think about just how important relationships are to God. The most important command is to love Him, which is relational. The second most important command is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so God really cares about our relationships. But long-term, deep relationships tend to have a fair amount of conflict. And so we need to have ways to be able to work through that conflict in some sort of a life-giving way. So just God seekers, people who are following God, find life-giving ways to fix things when there's brokenness in the world, when there's brokenness in our own lives. Think about this verse. Proverbs 24:16 says, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. And just, it's part of life to fall, right? It's part of life to sin and to do things that get us in trouble, to say things that get us in trouble. And so we need life-giving ways to be able to work through those things, or we just really end up in just terribly broken places. In my life recently, I guess this has been on my heart. I've seen some different conflicts. Sometimes I see people kind of apologizing in ways that are not very constructive, not very helpful, and not life-giving. And so that they think, hey, I apologized, and we should be through this now. And you look at it, it's like, no, you didn't really apologize very well, and the other person's still offended, and it's still really broken. And sometimes it just seems like it's like, just to be this huge problem, like a marriage is just completely shattered. And I'll look and be like, you know, if somebody would just apologize, like if there was a heartfelt apology combined with understanding, it's like this could all be different in just days or weeks. And yet they don't apologize, or they don't apologize in a meaningful way. Or in conflict in my own life, I've been in a conflict recently where somebody apologized to me, and it was a pretty big offense. I had written out a several hour long email, not that it would take that long to read it, but I put that much time into it, you know, and I got kind of a 6-sentence, hey, yeah, sorry about that. It's like, you know, I want to give some grace and kind of accept that, but it's also like, you don't get it, you missed it. And so I wanted to talk about this today, and the good news is that none of the conflict that I've experienced or that I've seen or that I'm kind of thinking about behind the scenes, none of it is related to our church. And so that's kind of good, because I can speak about it and have you not sit there and be like, is he talking about me? Is this that thing we had 4 years ago or whatever? So no, it's nothing like that. Just there is stuff kind of currently on my mind, but it's not related to you guys. But I just think it's so helpful to be able to work through conflict, and when we can't, it's so sad. It's like, man, we're followers of Jesus. It's like we ought to be able to just get along a little bit more easily. And so let's pray, and we'll just see what God has to say on this. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this time here and just that we would hear from you. I pray you would give us things that would actually help us in our day-to-day life and in the conflicts that we have, and that we would just be able to be listeners and to be humble and to be able to grow in understanding other people and in our communication with people, and that we would have a real heart for others and a heart to come under your kingship, your authority in our lives, and just to humble ourselves under you instead of positioning ourselves before other people. And so, God, I pray that you would just be at work in each one of us and speak to us today. God, maybe you would even have us call to mind some things that we could get right in our own lives. And so we pray that you'd be at work here. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to start off just by reading this passage from 2 Corinthians 7. For many years, I've felt like this is kind of like the ideal apology or the ideal situation when there's some conflict. So 2 Corinthians 7:8 says, even if I caused you great sorrow by my letter, this is Paul writing, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I'm happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. If you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you've proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So Paul is writing the church at Corinth, and he has obviously written them previously. He wrote a previous letter. It could be 1 Corinthians. It could be some other letter. And he's evidently confronted them on something. He's kind of reproved them on some matter. And they were kind of hurt by that, right? And he's kind of like, sorry that hurt. You know, sorry that stung you guys, but in another sense, I'm not really sorry because I see that it actually helped you, that it led to change, that it led to repentance, and that's a very life-giving thing. And then he talks about their response, what their godly sorrow produced in them. It says earnestness, you know, it's kind of sincerity, eagerness to clear themselves. Indignation, probably just like, I just hate my own sin. I hate that we did that. What alarm, like, oh man, I can't believe this path I'm on. I want to get on a different path. What longing, what a desire to fix things, to restore things, to have things made right. What concern, readiness to see justice done, to fix whatever wrongs they've committed. He says, at every point, you've proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. And I love that because you can imagine, you know, for him to write them this letter, we know at least 1 Corinthians is pretty strong. I mean, he says some really strong things. Like at one point he says that their church meetings do more harm than good. It's like, wow, that's pretty blunt. And he has been really strong with them, and they receive it. They listen to him, and they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, man, yeah, we're in a bad spot. You're right, Paul. That's amazing. We need to straighten up here. And they fix things, and they do everything they can to make it right. And so I love this. This is so cool. And I never see this in real life. It's just the weirdest thing. Like in marriage counseling and talking to people, and when other people apologize to me, when I apologize to other people, you know, there's usually a lot of other stuff kind of just, it's a little more tainted. Kind of like, hey, sorry, but I still kind of think I'm right, you know. And I just think this is a great heart to pursue. And so I want to think through just some tips that would help us to be more like this. And big picture, I think with apologies, it's not just that we're trying to say sorry, but we're trying to help the other person understand. I hear you, and I understand how I hurt you, and I'm sorry about that. So it's not just checking a box, but there's this relational thing going on of, I get it. I get how I hurt you, and I'm sorry about that. So this is our acronym. Our acronym is SOCKS. I'm not very good at acronyms, if you can't tell. You know, later on I thought, you know, it probably should spell sorry. But then you have to come up with all kind of weird things. Like, instead of say sorry, it'd be like, you should always say sorry, so that we could have a Y at the beginning. We could probably stretch it and get it to say sorry, but for now it says socks. I'm not sure how you're going to remember that. Maybe, I don't know, like if your mouth got you in trouble, stick a sock or something like that. But that's just kind of how it came about. So socks. So let's start off with talking about being specific. I think if we can be specific, this is the one I'm going to talk about the most. If we can be specific in our apology, I think it is extremely helpful. Let me give you an example. Suppose there is a guy who is a little bit hot-headed. It's probably not terribly hard to imagine because we can kind of tend to be that way. And he maybe he yells at his wife in an argument, and he slams a door, and he cusses at her. Okay, and then the next morning, he realizes that he shouldn't have done that, and he says, hey, sorry about last night. I mean, it's not terrible because it's probably pretty clear what he did and that both sides understand what he did. But it would be better if he would do these things, if he would be specific, if he would say, hey, I'm sorry I raised my voice. I'm sorry I slammed the door. I'm sorry that I cursed at you. That would be more helpful because it helps understand exactly what he's apologizing for, right? That would be easier to receive. Like, okay, he gets it. He understands the offensive things he did. If he could be specific about his motivations and heart matters, that would also help. That can be hard sometimes because we don't always understand why we do what we do. But if he could say, you know, when I yelled at you, I think that I'm just really being proud because I don't tend to yell at people who I think are better than me. And so I'm probably kind of looking down on you, and I don't tend to think I think that way about you, but I am really going to try to esteem you and change that in my heart if I'm acting that way. That would be a better apology if you could be specific about the offenses, specific about the motivations, and then even being specific about understanding how it hurt. So say, you know what? I remember when, whatever, my dad used to yell at me, and I would feel terrible for like a week afterwards. And that's what I did to you, and I'm sorry about that. So it's helping them really understand that you get it. That's kind of the key of being specific. Letting them know, you get it. I understand what I did, and I understand how it hurt. Let me give you another example on this. I think I've shared this with you before, but I remember a couple who we used to be pretty close to, and they would get into some real knockdown, drag-out fights, not physically, but just with their words. And one of the things that she would do, he was a nurse, a male nurse, and she would say to him, well, this is why you're a nurse and not a doctor. Which is, yeah, it's like, man, what? That's just mean, you know? It's just like, it's a zinger. There's nothing productive about it. It's just I'm trying to hurt you, right? That's the point of that. Okay, so if she said that in a fight, you can imagine the husband being really hurt. And if the next morning she said, hey, sorry about last night, would that cut it? No, that'd be a terrible apology. Because you don't know, does she get it? She did something really bad, really hurtful. And you want to know. I want to know that you understand what you did. So if she says, hey, sorry about last night, when I said that nurse-doctor comment, that was horrible. I can't believe that I said that. And then she starts thinking through motivations. And I don't even know what made me say that. I guess I just wanted to hurt you, and that was dumb. And I'm sorry that I wanted to hurt you. And I guess I must rank people in my head. I didn't even know I did that, but I've got to think about that some more. And I'm sorry that I ranked you in my head, and I ranked you lowly somehow. And you know what? I understand that was a low blow. That was a stab. And I understand I can't apologize enough to take that away. You're probably always going to remember that I said that. And all I can do is say sorry. I mean, I know sorry is not enough, but sorry. So can you see how when you're specific, it's a lot easier to accept than just, hey, sorry about last night. Being specific helps understand that you get it. I understand what I said, I understand what I did, I understand how it hurt. Even though it doesn't make it so like, oh yeah, it's okay now. I mean, it's still kind of like, oh, I'm going to have to recover a little bit from that one. But at least you're like, okay, but they get it. And so when you apologize, try to be specific so they get it. I'm going to go a little long on this particular point I think this is super important that we get. Vagueness, just if we look at the other side of it, if we're really vague. Imagine a guy, let's say he's in his, whatever, upper 20s or 30s or so, and he had a really bad childhood. His father was just terrible. He was a drunk. He went and bought beer with the kids' lunch money, and he was kind of somewhat abusive to the mom and to the kid, and he yelled, and he embarrassed the kid in front of his friends, and he, you know, just did all these things. And now imagine this adult kid going and talking to his dad and saying, hey, Dad, we need to talk about my childhood. And the dad's like, what do you want to talk about? And he says, well, you know, you were drunk all the time, and you were an angry drunk, and he starts going down this list of things, and the dad's like, yeah, sorry about your childhood. Does that cut it? Well, probably not. I mean, it's better than no apology. But it would be helpful for him to not that he can apologize for 20 years of specifics, right? That'd be pretty hard. But it wouldn't hurt him to maybe take a few hours of writing out, oh yeah, I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this, and communicating, you know, kind of here's what I see and I'm really sorry for this, and I know there's a whole bunch of other stuff. But just as the kid, you'd want to kind of get that feel of, okay, yeah, he kind of sees it to some degree. And so that would be really helpful in that. One more thought is just quick apologies. Let me give you an example. If you had an employee and the employee runs the cash register, and then you suspected they had been stealing from the cash register, maybe not a lot, maybe 10, 20 bucks a day, something like that. And so you start watching them, and you're watching, and it takes you a while. Finally, you see them do it. You see them stick a $10 bill in their pocket. And you go up and you confront them and say, hey, I saw that you stole that money, and I kind of think you've been stealing for a while, and what's going on here? And then the employee says, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. How do you feel about that? Like, oh, okay, good, yeah, thanks for apologizing. Okay, we're cool now. Yeah, you feel like, no, we need a little more conversation here. Like, I want you to hear my heart. I want you to hear how much this hurts. And you want that other person to hear until they can apologize in a way that's at least somewhat meaningful, that they get it a little bit. Like if the person then apologized and said, hey, you know what? I remember that time at Christmas a couple of years ago, you didn't have enough money to buy nice gifts for your kids. And I realized that was because I had been stealing from you. I'm sorry for that. That would be meaningful. Or if you said, hey, I realized that you entrusted me with something, that to let me run the cash register, you placed trust in me. I violated that trust. I'm sorry for that. So you can see how just that quick response, the quick sorry, is not super helpful. It's still okay to say, you know, hey, I'm sorry, but you still need to understand more, listen more, so that you can really apologize adequately. And I think sometimes we issue those quick apologies, and the other person's still really hurt, and they're like, what are you talking about? I already said sorry for that. Yeah, as soon as you caught me, I said sorry. I remember saying sorry. I specifically said it was hard for me to say sorry, and I said sorry, so I think we're good now, you know? It's like, well, no. You got to communicate. I get it. I understand the offense. You've got to own it. Oh, let me, I missed the verse on there. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening. That's folly and shame. We've got to listen to the other person and understand how we've hurt them to really have a good apology. We've got to own it. There are a few random times where maybe you don't need to own it. I think of like sometimes my wife wakes up and she's like, oh, I had a nightmare about you. It's like, I did not do, you know, you can tell. It's like she's mad at me. And, oh, you stabbed a puppy. Or, you know, you did some terrible thing. It's like, but I didn't really stab a puppy. Oh, but I'm still angry, you know. It's like, and then it might be appropriate to say, hey, I'm sorry your feelings are hurt, or I'm sorry you're going through a hard time. And you don't have to own up to things that you just really didn't do. But I think a lot of times we have a hard time owning it, and we like to deflect some of the blame. I remember a friend of mine, at least according to his wife, had been abusive and had hit her. And she had confronted him on this, and he said, yeah, I'm sorry I hit you, but you made me really angry. So you see what he's doing there is he's saying, yeah, I'm sorry, but it's really your fault. I mean, what it really comes down to. And it's like Adam and Eve, when God confronts Adam, he says, well, yeah, that woman you gave me, it's the woman's fault. It's almost kind of God's fault there, right? It's like, I was fine until you gave me this woman, so you figure out who's to blame here, you know? And we do that. It's so hard not to do that. To point it back and say, no, it's really your fault. Or we can even blame kind of outside things a little bit and be like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, but I was just really tired. I'm sorry, but I've been really stressed. And it just softens the apology. It makes it seem less sincere because you're not taking full responsibility for the actions. You may have been really tired, and I think sometimes it can still be okay to share that. Like, I was really tired. That's no excuse. I still shouldn't have done that. But you really have to own what you did. I think I've told you this before too, but we had a neighbor a few years ago. Kathleen and I were going to go for a walk. This is an older lady who we had always gotten along really well with. And we were walking down the street, and she's kind of like, come here. And kind of like, I want to talk to you. And she went off about our school loans, like who paid for our schooling, which was my parents, and I think we ended up paying off Kathleen's to her dad, and just kind of accusing us, like basically what it came down to is we had all these kids just to get government money. So it was extremely offensive and totally out of the blue, and it's kind of like, I know all about you. I've researched you, and I've got you figured out. It's like, show me. You know, what are you talking about? So anyway, so we went back home and wrote out a letter and just tried to talk to her about some of these things and gave it to her. And I think it's maybe 2 weeks later or so, we got a phone call, and she left a message on the machine. She was just like, man, I'm really sorry. You know, that was totally inappropriate, and can you ever forgive me? And then she came by, and she apologized in person. She brought a nice plant. And it's kind of funny, because I wouldn't have minded a little bit of an excuse, like, because I was kind of wondering, like, is she on meds? Or, like, what in the world is going on here? Because it was just so out of the blue. And so if she had said, I'm sorry, I was on a lot of meds, but that's no excuse, I shouldn't have done that, that still would have been okay with me anyway. So it's not like you can't ever add a little bit of a explanation, but still you want to own it and take responsibility, or it's not a very meaningful apology. One more thing on owning it, I guess. Owning it might also mean making amends. Like if you stole from the cash register, you say, oh, here's the $10,000 I stole from you, or here's our plan for working that off. I remember one time years ago, someone broke a window at the church, a window in the door, glass in the door. And, you know, it's like I had the police out, and then the insurance was there, and then you have to figure out paying for it. And it was just kind of a pain, an inconvenience. And I think it was like a couple years later, maybe it was just months later, but it was a long time later. A young guy in the church came up to me, and he's like, hey, remember when that window was broke? Yeah, I was skateboarding out in front of the church and lost my balance and shot the skateboard through the window. Sorry about that. And I don't really remember if he paid for it or not, but that would help in receiving an apology if he said, sorry about that. That's my responsibility. I'm going to pay for that. That would definitely help versus if he just said, hey, sorry, and then didn't do anything. And so part of owning it sometimes can be making amends to whatever degree possible. I think communicating change is important. At least the desire to change. You know, hey, sorry I yelled at you last night. I'm really going to work on that. And one of the hard things in apologies is we tend to have the same bad patterns, right? So we tend to keep doing the same thing again and again, which can make our desire to change seem a little less authentic. So it's one thing if you say, hey, sorry I yelled at you. But if you said, sorry I yelled at you a week ago, and the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that, it's not quite as meaningful. When you say, hey, I'm going to change, you've been saying that for like 10 years. And so what can be helpful is to say, you know what, I really want to grow in this, and here's my plan. Here are some things I'm going to work on. And I'm going to talk to our small group leader, I'm going to confess it at the Men of God meeting, I'm going to memorize 20 verses on this, I'm going to read this book. Maybe some of the ones that might be real repetitive, like could be pornography addiction, or maybe alcohol or drugs or something like that, addictive behaviors. I'm going to start going to Celebrate Recovery. I'm going to take lie detector tests. I'm going to, you know, just whatever it takes to say, I am serious about this. I see my offense, and I am ready to do whatever it takes to get it right. And then keep on point. Just stay to your apology and don't sidetrack into other stuff. So if you can imagine, like maybe talking to your neighbor about them letting their dog come over to your yard to go to the bathroom. Say, hey, you know, if I wanted to clean that up, I'd get my own dog. That's why I don't have a dog. I don't want to do that. And so the doctor said, or the doctor, where did that come from? The neighbor says, oh, yeah, sorry about that. Okay, yeah, I shouldn't have let my dog do that. And your kids are screaming all the time when they're in the pool. Like, okay, that's not relevant. And it takes away from the apology. It's a little bit like, you know, it's like an excuse. Well, you're just as bad as I am. And you don't have to cram everything into one conversation. You can work through the apology, say sorry, say I forgive you, you get through it. And then later on, a couple days later, you can say, hey, you know, I wanted to mention when your kids are at the pool, man, they're loud. Is there any way you could like ask them to calm down a little bit? And so just keep on point. Don't keep adding more things into the apology, because then you increase the conflict instead of helping deflate it. Say sorry. Say I'm sorry. I don't know why. Some people, they really have a hard time saying I love you. And they have a hard time saying I'm sorry. I don't know if it's the same people, but those are both things that are just really hard for people to say. Sometimes we'll be in counseling and they'll be like, hey, you should apologize for this. And you know, the person will like go on and they're talking. They're doing this apology and like, just say it. Come on, you can do it. Just say it. You know, it's like, just say I'm sorry. Those words are so helpful. And I think what it is, it's a humbling thing. And it's good to humble ourselves. Like when you think about being in the kingdom of God and following our king and what he's like, you know, he is a humble king. His people are humble people. Just humble yourself. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did wrong there. So how do you respond to somebody when they apologize? Say, I forgive you. I don't know. I think that's a little harder for people too. I'm sorry. I forgive you. I would kind of hold back on the I forgive you till you kind of feel good about the apology. Like, okay, I'm ready to be done with this. I'm ready to truly forgive you and let this go. And if you're not, then you need to clarify the apology. Say, okay, well, you kind of apologized for yelling, but what was really hurtful was when you, whatever, you pulled my hair, you slammed the door, you, whatever. And kind of make sure that you're heard. And then when you feel like you're heard and you're ready to move on, you're ready to forgive and let it go, then say, I forgive you. We used to have the kids say, I forgive you. It's the Lord forgave me based on this verse. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And the Lord forgave us completely and thoroughly, and he doesn't keep bringing back up our sin. Give a little bit of grace with poor apologies. And this is what I was saying, that writing from Paul that we looked at the beginning, where I just never hear apologies like that. And I don't know that we can really expect that, because it's so uncommon. And I think you have to understand, when somebody's apologizing for something, they're coming to you in their human brokenness, and they're not going to be able to like present a case where you feel like you owe them an apology or you owe them forgiveness. They're not going to present a case that compels you to do that. When you offer forgiveness, it's because of their human frailty and brokenness, and because you can relate to, you know what, I need forgiveness sometimes too. And so even though we hope they'll give the perfect apology, shoot more for understanding. And if you feel like their heart is kind of with you, then be willing to forgive and let go. And hopefully you can both keep growing and working through conflict. But, you know, I wouldn't lock into, oh, you know, you got two of those points, but you didn't get three, or, you know, something like that. You know, just give a little bit of grace as people apologize, because you probably don't apologize perfectly either. Just a couple other quick thoughts. As you're thinking through, like, really tough conflicts, like marriage trouble or deep friend wounds or things with your family, maybe your parents, be careful about gossiping. Gossip is so destructive. And I think what we can do sometimes is go around from person to person. Hey, I have this conflict. Let me tell you about it. See if you have any thoughts for me. And Kathleen and I felt like that happened one time, where someone was going around to a lot of different people and bringing this conflict up to them and not talking to us. And by the time we heard about it, this person had already talked to like 20 other people. And so we felt like, whoa, you've really gossiped about us. And it was very hurtful. And so it's fine to get advice from somebody, but not from 20 people. You know, maybe one trusted person or something is appropriate. But be careful with that. And then if you have a big conflict that's going on, get a mediator. Get someone who can listen to it, have an outside perspective, and help you through it. 1 Corinthians 6:1, Paul writes and he says, if any of you has a dispute with another, Do you dare to take it before the ungodly, in other words, to somebody outside the church, for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you're to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? In other words, from those who are outside the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of unbelievers. And sometimes it's just helpful to get a mediator and to say, you know what, I trust that this other person's wise enough to help us through this. But that also kind of means humbling yourself that, okay, what they say, I'm going to kind of trust that that's from God. I'm going to trust that that's going to be good wisdom, a good direction to go. And so just big picture. So socks was be specific, own it, communicate change, keep on point, and say sorry. And I think if we do those things in our apologies, it'll really help people understand that we get it and to genuinely forgive us. And then when we have that genuine forgiveness, it allows relational restoration. And that really helps our friendships and our marriages and our family connections. If we can be good apologizers, it will help us have deep relationships. And I think that's very, very important to God. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time here. We thank you for your word and just how it is life-giving, how it tells us how to live. And not just, hey, you should live this way, but just good, helpful advice on like listening and being humble and things like that. And so, God, we just pray that you would help us not just remember an acronym or something, but help us to actually put these things into practice in our own personal conflicts and just to be people who really care about our effect on other people and who can apologize and who can develop deep, meaningful relationships. And I thank you, God, that your Spirit is in us and is at work, and I pray that you would just help us to yield to him and to respond. And so we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.